The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, let's get right back to it. Hour number two, and we're having a grand time on this really great tour. We're in guests. Look for Harry Cooper. I look underneath him. Look for Berlin tour, and we are at the bottom of that first page. There's a round piece of concrete.
Right, and that's my Berlin friend there who takes us around. You'll never see his face because he doesn't. He's got a very important job. He doesn't want to lose it. That round...
Is he the one who knows the underground?
Yeah.
Okay.
That round thing was the base for a 20-millimeter anti-aircraft gun.
Uh-huh.
They didn't leave the guns there for us to play with, I'm afraid.
Did they have radar then, or was it visual sighting?
I don't know. I don't know. Not my area of expertise.
Okay.
Okay, next picture, you see the red arrow?
Yep.
It's pointing to a girl on the side of this platform. And it's not that she didn't want to pay the €5 to get in. She and a...
It's a little tiny girl.
Yeah. She was normal size. It's just that it's a huge flak tower. And she and some of her friends were practicing mountain climbing. And since they didn't have any mountains in Berlin, they're using... the flak tower, which I assume they had permission, but...
That's fascinating. Now, is this one of the tall flak towers, or is this a shorter one?
No, this is a tall one. This is one of the big three.
There's only one left, as I remember.
That's right. There are still some other ones around Berlin and Hamburg, etc., but they're not...
They built these things in like 6 or 8 weeks. It was amazing...
I'm surprised there's any cement left in the world. They built so much stuff with cement there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, that's amazing. I'd say let's finish it. Let's put the guns back up there and let it look like it actually did. This is I'm one of these people who'd like to see the Great Pyramid, at least one side of it, recovered with that beautiful polished limestone white that they used to have on there.
Yeah.
It was all stripped off.
Unfortunately, nobody wants to...
I'm a romantic, you know, whatever.
It costs money, and we'd rather give the money away to mooches to come into the country.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that. I'd got my, whipped out my handy-dandy magnifying glass, and there's a girl.
Yeah. We do have other pictures on my website, close-up, but like I say, I had to trim it down. I started out with about 400 photos. To send to you today, and I trimmed it down to whatever it is.
Well, you can go ahead and use them up again. I mean, when I go outside in public with my magnifying glass to see if it's a man or a woman, it's embarrassing, but I can do it at home here at the desk, and it's no problem.
Okay, well, I can see where that would be embarrassing.
Yeah, it is a little. No touch, just look. All right. Okay. All right, let's go down to where it says Berlin... Two.
Yep.
And how many Berlins are there?
I think this is the only... Well, let me scroll down, see what...
You don't have to. We'll just go until
we got Berlin 3 coming up, so so we got a couple more pages, I guess.
All right. Here we go. No. Now, that's is that a... What's it called? A wagon?
It's kind of like a Kugelwagen.
Kind of. More modern.
Yeah. And a friend of ours... who see the sign there, says Eingang verboten, and he's guarding the border, except if you know how to translate it, means shark hunters are welcome here.
Absolutely. That's good. That's camouflaged.
That's right, yeah. Well, he's part of the military there.
It's a Mercedes. All right.
And your next picture, those are not barracks for short people. Those are Soviet-built barracks dug into the ground.
For why?
I don't know. I guess maybe it's better insulation. I don't know.
Weird.
And looks this pretty, is looks... all on the property that was the secret command post of Gross Admiral Dönitz.
Mm-hmm.
After they lost France and he had to bring his command back to Berlin. This is outside Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the compound is called Corale, which means coral, you know, like you pull up out
right.
of a...
Right. Now, but Dönitz was the head of the submarine, the Navy.
Yeah, after a while he was head of the whole Navy.
Yeah.
And then he took over as Chancellor of Germany when Hitler allegedly committed suicide, although we know he did not commit suicide.
Right.
But anyhow.
When is your Chicago thing again?
19th of November.
Well, I'm really proud. That's just to be associated with that. That's a great thing.
Yeah. And I talked to the president of the International Press Club. They're already 20% sold out in the seats.
They will be.
Oh, I'm sure. We're 3 months away. So if anybody would want information on that, gathering in Chicago, just send me an email, sharkhunters@earthlink.net, and we'll send them the details.
How exciting. They're going to get, you know this, they're going to get leaned on to cancel you.
Oh, I know that. I know that. If they don't cancel, I'm sure I'll have some thugs waiting for me in front.
What I would do is, maybe I shouldn't say this over the air, but I would go look for an alternate location just in case. And then you can redirect the folks who come to an alternate spot.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that, because the president of the International Press Club is on the computer right now listening to us, probably.
I mean, seriously, he obviously is a very brave man. He's got a backbone. This is press. This is history. This is news. Yeah. What the hell? Come on.
Might save me a few $1,000, because my wife wants to go to Chicago, but... Again, you know, not with an airplane, so we're going to have to drive 2 days to get to Chicago.
Don't they have a train?
I checked Amtrak. We have to drive from here to Jacksonville to catch the train, which is 120 miles. Then
great.
The train goes straight up to Washington, D.C.
Never mind, I got you.
And you got to spend the night in D.C. Then it goes to Chicago, and because it'd be my wife and my son and I, and we'd have to have a little compartment. Round trip is $2,600.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I told the guy, geez, I don't want to buy the train. Just ride on it, you know. You can fly. The way the prices are now, you can get flights for $100 round trip from Orlando to Chicago and back.
Right.
Anyhow, here's you're looking down into one of the window wells there in those low-level bunkers, barracks. And like I say, there's more pictures of those on the website.
Yeah.
And the next one down, that abandoned building, was their mess hall.
It's a mess.
Mm-hmm. It's a mess. This is a typical Soviet construction. They built something fast and cheap that wasn't going to last for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Soviet Union itself imploded, and they just walked away and left all this.
And the next picture is the luxurious swimming pool, I can tell.
No, actually, that's one of the four man-made mini lakes, so that from the air, it looked like a farm. And the water in these man-made mini lakes would be used for fire control, et cetera.
Oh, the Germans built it.
Yeah, right. This was all German-built before the Soviets took over.
Yeah.
And that's our friend there, Herr X.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go a little further. Ah, what do we have there? We've got cinder block on top of the original Dönitz bunker. And the reason they put cinder block up there, because the police were practicing to put down urban uprisings. Now, this was built, I'm sure, by the Soviets.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one, we see the actual bunker itself up on the top. And again, you know, the Soviets had a some kind of an agreement with the Western powers that when they pulled out, they would blow everything up to where Germany couldn't rise again. The same is true when we went on another tour. We went out to Wolfschanze, Hitler's hardened headquarters in what is now Poland, And they blew up all the bunkers there.
But I mean, I'm only saying this because it's history. Leave history alone.
No, I know, but that argument falls flat.
Yeah,
you're
I know.
Talking to people who are dogmatic. So anyhow, they blew it up, and the next picture down, I'm up on the roof again taking this picture, and you're about three stories high up there.
Mm.
Another picture up on the roof. Then you see a picture of us. See that fence, that old beat-up fence?
Mm-hmm.
And the sign in yellow says, shark hunters are welcome here.
Yeah.
And the next picture, the stairway and the yellow arrow. Got that one?
Got it.
Okay, that is the entrance down into Dönitz's command bunker. And you're really not supposed to go down there. The caretaker, who fortunately was not around that day, absolutely refuses to let people down there because he says that there's decaying wood and that lets off nitrogen, which displaces the oxygen, and you get down there and you'll die. Well, I've been down there three decks down, and nobody told me
you
I'm dead.
You sound pretty
yet.
Good to me.
Yeah.
Aren't those his feet tied together in the lower right there?
Yeah, I don't know what that is down in the lower right, but anyhow, that's the entrance. And then
the entrance is straight down.
Straight down the ladder to the first level. It goes down three levels. Well, actually the fourth level, but the fourth level is the ceiling's only about 5 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
Now here we are, three levels down, that room with the yellow band around it, yellow painted wall.
Is that original yellow?
Yeah, I think they just let it go to hell.
So that's how it looked.
Yeah. Then the next picture is a diesel engine.
Harry, how did they communicate with the U-boat fleet and what was left of the Navy?
Oh, well, they had Goliath, which was a huge, big transmitter in Berlin that could get anywhere in the world. And then they had other stations in different places. They had down in Bavaria and Austria, they had, I think it was three high-powered mobile radios. They were in vans.
Mm-hmm.
And one was called Crocodile, and it was seated on the Rossfeld Road up on the, which mountain was that? I think it was over Salzburg. And it was meant to communicate with just certain U-boats. One of them, for instance, was U-534, which had two Enigma machines.
This is all going on, folks, when the code had been cracked and the Germans didn't know it.
Yeah, but the one on U-534, instead of just the standard four-wheel Enigma that the Navy had, they had a three-wheel Enigma and a four-wheel Enigma hooked together in series to where they had hundreds of billions of potential combination.
See, that's smart. Supercomputer.
Right, and they used a totally different code that had not been broken. But
why didn't they change the damn code?
Well, that was a good question. Admiral Dönitz every so often thought that the codes had been broken, and whenever he brought it to the attention of the general staff, he was laughed down, and it was swept off the table. No, the code cannot be broken, etc. Well, then after a while, after Black May of 1943, when the codes were broken, we also brought Huffduff online, High Frequency Directional Finder, and it didn't matter how quickly that radio operator got on and off the air. If he hit the key once, he was triangulated, and that was what killed so many of them.
Yeah. Okay, this is a large diesel engine, which looks like it probably could still start up if they worked on it a little bit.
Yeah, they need a little paint on the outside shrouding, but that was to provide
electricity
power.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you know, the ventilation, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one is a circle.
If you don't get over that cough, let me know, and I'll send you some... no, seriously, I've got stuff that'll knock that right out.
Well, the reason everybody down here is hacking and coughing. I know out on the west coast there, the left coast, they're in a hell of a drought. I wish we could ship our weather there. Every single day for the last 3 months at least, we have been getting horrendous rainstorms, toad strangler, gully washers, and it's causing the oak trees. We don't have palm trees in this part of Florida. We got oaks. And they're just pollinating all over the place. My torch red Corvette has a coating of yellow dust on it from the pollen, and it gets into our throats, and
I gotcha. Okay.
We just tough it out.
Do you know California, the state, most all of the state of California, I ran the story today, is sinking. Sinking.
Oh.
2 inches a month.
Oh, I'm glad I don't live in California then.
Think about it. That's 24 inches a year.
Yeah.
That's, the state is sinking. The water is gone. The water table's gone. The snowpack is gone. It's sinking. 24 inches. And that, you look at the story at runts.com. It's up there.
Lordy, lordy. Well, we're not shy of water here. Holy cow, we're not shy of water.
Well, if they got smart and quit spending their money to kill people in the Middle East and elsewhere, they could build enormous pipelines like Gaddafi did, that brilliant man, and pipe the water where it's needed.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, got too many people protecting their own little turf.
Yep.
Okay, next one, you see the circular stairwell. We're on the third level down.
Uh-huh.
And that one goes down into the fourth level, which, like I say, is about ankle deep in water, and the ceiling's only about 5 feet. So.
And the guy is claiming that the wood is going to give off nitrogen and make it.
Yeah,
and that's a bunch of crap.
Well, I know, I agree with you, but and like I say, I've been down there 3 times so far,
mm-hmm.
and never any adverse effects.
Well, you used to be a blue-eyed blonde. That's the only difference I can tell.
I still am a blue-eyed blonde, except gray is the new blonde.
Oh, I see. Well, let's call it platinum then.
Yeah,
okay. Now, next.
Next we have that shell of a building with the busted-out windows.
Yeah.
That was Admiral Dönitz's headquarters and his living compartment, his living apartment. And when we were there the first time, it was in perfect shape. There was a realtor there trying to sell it to somebody.
No kidding.
Now, like so many things from the war years.
Yeah, I got it.
They just turn their back on it and let the vandals go in there and tear the place apart.
There's still some drapes on one window, looks like.
Well, somebody will probably go and steal them. So.
Well, how interesting. Well. One day, maybe history will be respected as it should be. Okay, next picture looks like a country manor courtyard.
That's exactly what it is. That was Goebbels' manor house.
Ah.
The Reich built him a nice little house outside Berlin.
Uh-huh.
I think to the northwest, I can't remember, though. And he didn't like it, so he built this huge, big manor house called House Bogensee, which you'll see in the next picture.
I see it.
Yeah.
Are those the original letters?
Yeah.
B-O-G-E-N?
Yeah.
Bogensee. It's amazing. No one has... Never mind.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was private property, and there are guards. And
we go to the inside?
We were inside that. This is where there was one whole wing of this place, which I don't have the pictures up. There was one whole wing which was all bedrooms, and since Goebbels was in charge not only of propaganda but also the film industry, any cute little aspiring movie starlet would have to come out and
audition
with Goebbels. And you know, he had a very public wild affair with Lydia Borova, mm-hmm. who was a gorgeous woman. From, I think it was Romania or Hungary, I'm not sure which, but he told Hitler that he was going to divorce Magda and marry Lydia Borova. Yeah, Hitler says, no, that ain't the way the Reich was designed. And Lydia Borova got a visit from the Gestapo and said, if you're still here tomorrow. So she packed up and left that night. So,
wow.
But
The inside is looks perfect where I'm looking.
It was in good shape, and those two windows at the last photo, those were the electrically operated windows. You push a button and they sink down into the basement to give you ventilation, and they work because I was pushing the buttons and these windows were going down. We were down in the cellar, and they had a big cold room for vegetables, another cold room for meat, another one for the dairy, and the entrance to his bunker was there, and it was wide open, not even bulldozed or anything. This was taken a few years ago. Now, I don't know what's going on. The entire facility at House Bogensee had been taken over by the Soviets, and they built several huge, big, grandiose buildings, three or four dormitories for the young communists from Yugoslavia and young communists from here and young communists from there. Then they had a huge, big meeting building, and the two huge Zeiss film projectors are still up in the projection room, and at each one of the seating places, you know, they had chairs with the little wooden arm on them like we had in high school, all over the place, and the headphones were still there for people to wear, and no matter what language they spoke, they had their translator. But the place was falling apart. Like I say, the Soviets built stuff that looked good for a couple of years, and the German government or the Berlin government, I don't know, whichever government had control of the place, they were just totally torn. Okay, this place is worth a ton of money. Let's auction it off and make a ton of money on it. Okay, we're going to auction it off. Then somebody pops up and says, oh, wait a minute, what if some wealthy neo-Nazi buys it? Oh, okay, take it off the market again, and then it's back on the market, then it's back off. So I don't know if it's still there. I mean, it's still there, obviously, but I don't know if it's for sale or not, because there are a lot. There are wealthy neo-Nazis, and if they bought it, you know, then, God forbid, they might have a rise of the Reich again. I don't think that's going to happen.
I know.
I'm sure that's what they're worried about.
Ridiculous.
Adolf who? World War what?
Yeah. All right, we're going to keep going through the break. Todd, thank you.
Okay.
All right, next up. Yeah, I did. I've been looking. I flipped. We got a whole bunch here. This is number four or three.
Whatever. Okay. I don't know if this goes to...
There's a pass gate here.
There's a pass gate, right. And with that sign, I've got a close-up of the sign on the next one.
Yeah.
Every time it says verboten, I know that's just for us.
That's welcome, Shark Hunter.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
Eltern Haften für Ihre Kinder, something about your children, I don't know. This was the headquarters of OKW, Oberkommando der Wehrmacht. This was the high command of the German military. It was made to look like a small village from the air of six houses, three on each side of a little street, and these were hardened houses. You see one there, and then the next picture was a hardened house, but blown up. Because the Soviets took it over, and when the Soviet Union evaporated, they blew them up. The assassination of Hitler at the Wolfschanze was planned in one of these buildings. Of course, Tom Cruise wasn't there. It was von Stauffenberg, but now they're all blown up.
What would have happened if they had succeeded and he put the bomb on the other side of that huge table leg?
If they'd killed Hitler,
yeah,
I don't think it would have changed the outcome of the war because the Allies were bound.
Oh no,
to
the outcome, yeah.
Germany.
Well, Speer would have probably taken over, perhaps one of them. Who knows? But
Bormann,
yeah.
Bormann was the gray eminence behind the throne. There, Bormann was the powerhouse. We're still learning stuff about Bormann, how powerful he was for so many years after the war, but that's something for another book later on, and that's why I'm going to Argentina and also to Italy in a couple of months. That's another story, though.
Well, okay. All right. Green doors,
and the guy you see his back. That's Irwin again, the U-boat guy. going in. Now, we're going down into the bunkers underneath. You see the next picture, the next two pictures. These are down 90 meters down. What is that? That's about 300 feet down.
You're kidding me. That's that's a football field deep.
Yep, yep. They wanted to make sure the bombs didn't get them. And then we go to one where there's a lot of grass, and you're looking down. That's a window from a basement from one of the buildings, and there's a chair or something thrown down there. Then we scroll on. I don't know how that one got out of shape. There's a gigantic blast door with the number 2 on it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bomb-proof door
to
protect the people down in the belly. Scroll to the next one. That's an electrical control panel way down deep. And below that, you see telephones, an orange phone, a yellow phone.
Original stuff.
Yep. From the Soviets, because the Soviets took this over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they paid Germany for it. Not the way they should have. And we scroll down again. There's more.
Was that German equipment that they just took over, or is that their own?
No, that's pretty much new for the time. This was all Soviet stuff.
Okay.
And it's still there. It's still there, Jeff. Mm-hmm. They haven't taken none of this stuff out. Mm-hmm. There's piles and piles of papers and documents and files and all sorts of stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Another place we go when we're in Berlin, which I don't have photos of that, we go into the former command headquarters of the DDR government. Everything, you can get seasick walking through there because everything is sprung. The floors are on gigantic springs. The desks and chairs are hanging from the ceiling on springs. The computers are all on springs in case there's a huge blast. So, bless their hearts. And we're scrolling down still. There's more equipment still in there. Jeez, I thought I took out some of this stuff.
That's Soviet stuff.
Yep. And then finally we get to the last photo. It looks like some kind of a concrete rocket ship.
It does.
That's right outside in the little village outside the headquarters of the OKW. That is one of the air raid shelters. They built a bunch of them, and you see it's pointed, so there's no way a bomb is going to hit the roof.
Yeah, I've seen these in that program, that documentary about Berlin. They built a lot of those.
Right, and then the Soviets blew up most of them around there, but this one is still standing. You can get a couple of hundred people in there, I guess. I don't imagine it was a lot of fun with the bombs falling, but outside.
No.
And I'll tell you what, they, excuse me, they got some kind of a fern there that grows. I touched one, and it's like you got bit by a snake or something. I mean, you get instant pain just touching the damn thing, and then it burns and itches all day. So, okay, we click on the Let's Go Forward thing.
Berlin number 4.
Yes, sir.
Now we're going to another checkpoint.
Well, this is the famous Checkpoint Charlie, which now is staffed by a bunch of Germans, and the ones when we were there, they couldn't even speak English. But for, I think, 10 euros or something like that, you can have your real passport stamped with the Checkpoint Charlie thing. I didn't think it would be a good idea for me to have them stamp souvenir stuff into my official passport.
No, I don't think so.
So, then the next one down, that is an original section of the Berlin Wall with a watchtower.
Oh, really?
And we're on a an observation tower across the street. But you see, on the back side of it, where the guard tower is, that would have been, the whole thing would have been East Berlin. But you got to go over that first wall and then through a very that large area of very soft sand and gravel. You can't run. And you get machine gunned before you get to the inner wall.
Yeah, they killed quite a few people over the years.
Yeah, they did. And they built the walls to keep the Americans out, they said. Right.
Mm.
Okay, we scroll down. to that big arena-looking place.
That big roundy.
Yep, big roundy. That is the home of the 1936 Olympics, which was the first time the Olympics had been a huge spectacle, and, you know, Hitler had built it for that.
Yeah.
And then the next one is a long shot of the Olympic Stadium with the two pylons off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
The next one you see, they have memories of the fallen soldiers of World War One.
Wow.
The next war was what? Who? World War what?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't remember those guys. Next one, of course, is the big bell. It says 1936 on it. And you had to go up, and then you had to be very careful if you want to reach out and touch it, because if you reach a little too far, you slip, and you're down about six stories in a hurry.
Oh.
The next picture, the abandoned building.
Olympic Village?
Yeah, not the Olympic Village, but some of the offices. And then after the fall of Berlin, this was East Berlin again, this was housing for, originally it was housing, I think, for SS officers,
mm-hmm.
and then it was housing for Soviet officers, and now it's housing for varmints, vermin, bird, ducks, whatever.
Mm.
Nobody living there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Next photo, the yellow one, that was the headquarters building for the Olympics, which is also abandoned. And
these things ought to all obviously be kept in pristine condition.
Yeah, well, my opinion is they're deliberately being allowed to fall apart.
Yeah. Okay, you're inside, or someone's up there.
Yeah, that's me on the stage.
Yeah.
They finally found me. I took off to take pictures. The next thing I know, the guide is blowing his whistle, and they're screaming, "Voice Cooper, Voice Cooper." I said, oh, well, they're not going anywhere without me because I have the checkbook.
Yes.
I roamed. There's a whole bunch of photos in there of that. And like I say, this was the old headquarters building for the Olympics.
That's a stage for some kind of presentation.
Right. And the next photo down is just an empty room painted in white. That's one of the rooms in that building.
Well, at least they've repainted it.
Yeah. And the next one down is another room.
Well, you can see the before.
Yeah.
If that's
deal.
The same. I'm not sure it's the same.
Not the same room, but one just exactly like
yeah.
it. They had rooms like this all through that building.
No reason they can't make that look nice.
Oh, I know. They could get volunteer labor, or they could get the people out of the prisons,
yep.
put them to work, give them a
yep.
paintbrush.
Yep.
The next picture, the semicircular, that was...
That's an odd-looking structure.
Yeah, that was the circular mess hall.
Mm-hmm.
Dining hall for the Olympians.
Hmm.
And the yellow pipes you see, that is the poor man's gutters. They haven't fixed the downspouts. They just kind of jimmy-rigged it with that stuff.
Hmm.
And you see it's falling apart, too. We go down one more, and there's all these people there having a good time. This was the Italian team. And they were eating well, and they had their bottles of wine. You know, you're not supposed to drink at the Olympics, but they had a special dispensation because the Italians have to have wine with their meal. And they were having fun. The place was well kept. They ate well. But that was 1936.
Amazing.
Next photo is that well-kept dormitory. That is the Jesse Owens dormitory. There were two men.
It's kind of a monument.
Yeah. There were two men, two a room. You had two single beds, and you had a desk, and that was really nice. And you scroll down to the next one where it's all falling apart. That's actually the dormitory where Jesse Owens lived. They put a sign in front of the other one because it wasn't so badly destroyed. And then the guy from the Olympic Village, who was taking us around, he was trying to talk us into donating money to restore the Jesse Owens house. We told him we didn't have any money, and he said, well, you go to your government. I said, yeah, right, there's 330 million people in America, and I'm not going to go to the government and ask them for money to rebuild something in Berlin.
You know what's sad? Out of the 330 million, probably no more than a million would even know who Jesse Owens was.
Yeah, sad but true.
All right, we got a picture of Harry.
Yeah, this is the standard room.
For the athletes.
Yep. And the place is, you know, it's all falling apart except they're keeping one or two buildings in decent shape. But, geez, I better go on a diet. I'm looking a little chunky. Nah, probably my shirt was loose. That's what it was.
No, it was just your shirt.
Okay.
All right, well, we're going to go through this break, too. I want to get as much as we can here. All right, Berlin number five.
Berlin number five. That grown over building.
We got Berlin number six. We got eight.
Yeah.
We're not going to make it. That's fine.
No, we're not going to make it, but we'll come back if you like.
This is fun. Yeah, can we kill the commercial? No, I shouldn't say kill the commercial. Can we dim the commercial? Thank you. All right.
Okay, this building you're looking at that's grown up, that was the train station from Berlin direct to Moscow. It's not in service anymore.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, this was outskirts too, where the Kaiser had built this huge big school where he was training his cavalry people, but then it went over in World War II to the Panzer guys. I think it was the 5th Panzer Division.
Yeah.
Took it over. Look to the next sign. There's another one of those signs that says, "Come on down, shark hunters." And the third picture, that is what's left of one of the tank barns.
Really?
Yeah. The Panzers would come in there for repair.
Uh-huh.
And there's several of these buildings, and this is the best-looking one of the bunch. So you can figure out from the rest. The next picture, there's another one of the tank repair shops grown over. Next one is a house, a very nice house. That is where the commanders lived. You know, each command, you know, when they changed commanders.
Yeah.
Guderian lived in this house for a while.
Heinz?
Yep, the Panzer chief. So, but unlike George Washington slept here, it's abandoned. Who's Guderian, they want to know. Okay. Excuse me. Then we go to the big yellow building. This is just one small piece of a gigantic complex that the Kaiser built and during the war was used as the headquarters of the Panzers and also training, etc. You're on that picture, I assume.
Yep.
Next one down, we have a picture of...
That's a nice clock up there. It looks like
well,
it still works.
I have no idea. If not, it's right two times a day. Then you see the statue. That's poor old Lenin. He's looking out there for something, but whatever's out there, it ain't coming back to him.
You creep.
His name wasn't even Lenin.
No, I know.
Stalin wasn't Stalin.
I know.
Tito wasn't Tito. Franco wasn't Franco. Ah, there we see another one. Verboten.
One of your favorite words.
Yeah. Something Hall for your children.
If you have any grandkids, you could always name one of them Verboten.
That would, that would work. Okay, then we go inside. And here's the entrance to one of the grand halls in there.
Mm-hmm.
You see the stairs, the paint's all fallen off. But this was built before World War I. So it was built by German engineering, and it's still staying even though it's falling apart. And from what I'm told, no amount of money could renovate the place because it's too far gone. So they're just going to let it fall apart.
I find that hard to believe. I don't know what they're building here with concrete or rebar. I don't know. I can see the paint. The paint's falling.
Third Reich was part of this, and so that, you know, good.
It's not politically correct.
Exactly. No. So then we have a long hallway with a red door. I have no idea what that is. I left from the group, and they were blowing the whistle again looking for me.
Goebbels' girlfriend was in there.
It could have been, yeah. Then we got a room, a wall with blue whatever's on it.
Let me see what they are.
Get your magnifying glass.
I'm looking. They look like they're little mailboxes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah,
might
I'll
have been
bet,
mailboxes
I'll bet.
For the students because they were training.
Well, they must have been tall some tall students to get up to the top.
Well, maybe they had a chair. Who knows?
Their mailboxes.
Or a sliding ladder.
That too.
And I bet you don't know who invented the sliding ladder. It was my great-great-grandfather.
Come on.
Yeah. And he invented also the endless chain of buckets, you know, to dig wells with, etc.
No kidding.
Yeah. And a weedless fishing lure, etc.
Oh,
and his uncle, my great-great-grandfather's uncle, was Peter Cooper, the guy that invented the first steam-powered locomotive, and he was the oldest man to ever run for the presidency of the United States.
I'll be done.
Big deal.
No, it is a big deal. That's
I never got any money out of it.
Doesn't matter.
We move on down, and here's what's left of a Soviet display.
Yeah, I can tell.
They always had these big, grandiose whatevers, and they also had a big, huge, what the heck do you call it, one of them rooms in a circle that, well, anyhow, full of this stuff. They took it all back. They wanted to sell it to Berlin. Berlin says, no, we're not going to pay for it. And so they took
Well, that's a like a wall mural, but it's a sculpted thing. And it,
right.
This
and they had
very,
one of these that was in a big circle.
Very ugly-looking, unattracting. That's not a very good-looking kid.
Right, and that's, I guess that's Stalin over there on the right.
On the right,
it?
Yeah.
They were supposed to look stern, not happy.
The child looks weird.
Well, they didn't have much money. The Soviet Union was,
Beauty doesn't take much money.
Oh, okay. I'll take your word for it. Next picture was still more of that same compound. It's a beautiful place. It covers a couple of square miles.
And originally, what was it used for, one more time?
That was for the training of the Kaiser's cavalry.
Okay. And you can see the horses just jogging through that archway.
Yeah, let your mind go back in history 100 years.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you got. And then, of course, there's Betret and Verboten again. Harry, welcome here.
Ah, yes.
And that goes into the swimming pool. And again, we've got a bunch more photos of the pool. And but I, like I say, I had to narrow it down. Otherwise, we'll be here until 2 o'clock in the morning come
Look
Sunday.
Look at that. That's the diving board.
Yep. No water in the pool, though. So
I can tell that. Now, that wasn't a very big pool.
No.
And it doesn't look like the diving board was in such a position that you could dive head first and go very far.
I don't know. But this was part of the physical training of the cavalrymen, and then later on the guys from the panzers.
Mm-hmm.
There you see the bottom picture is that's a changing room, and this was not part of the tour. I got lost again. But
right.
You got to let your mind wander. Who sat there to change their clothes?
Well, it wasn't us, but
no.
Okay, let's go. Now we got
click on.
This is the last one. Okay.
Is it? Okay.
We'll see if we can zip. We got about 8 minutes. See if we can get through.
That building with the long stray eye in the side, that's the museum at the, the Heights.
Uh-huh.
Silo Heights. That's where they had a major, major battle just to the east of Berlin. Just to the west of the Oder River, after the Soviets crossed the Oder River, they had a huge, big battle there. And this is a museum about it. And outside the museum, of course, they have their obligatory weaponry. That's a T-34 tank, Soviet, and a Soviet Katusha rocket truck.
Now, it must not have been any German examples around, of course.
No, not very many. Most of them were broken up.
Trashed. Melted down, turned into Mercedes. All right. Yeah.
Then we got this bright picture where it says tobacco shop.
Yeah.
And there's a BP gas station. This is when you just cross the border into what is now Poland. It used to be Germany, but it's now Poland. And this little town was the most destroyed town, village, whatever, in history. Every time an army came through, they just destroyed the town. And finally, after a while, they just never rebuilt the old section of the town, and we go through part of it. And this is where, what's his name, the great, DeGros, what the heck? Jeez, it's late in the day. Anyhow, we'll go through that. Next picture is the entrance to a really nice little truck stop where we stop for lunch. We always stop for lunch. Frederick the Great, that's who I'm thinking of.
Freddie.
Yeah.
What would you eat at the what would you eat for lunch?
Everybody had their own choice, but I usually go with goulash soup because you can't screw up goulash soup and a big chunk of bread.
Okay.
And there's some of our troops there. And the girl didn't want her picture taken, but finally my charm won her over, and there's her picture. It's a nice little mom-and-pop place with only about a half a dozen tables.
Uh-huh.
But it's good food, and it's nice, you know, local color.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Very good. Oh, the smiling girl. I thought you were talking about the other one.
Well, it's the same girl.
Oh, well, look how different she looks smiling.
Yeah, well, I talked her into it. Look at the shirt. It's the same shirt. I love some or another.
I love music.
Okay. You got your magnifying glass out again.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, the next picture is the gates. That is a huge flea market. It's just over the border from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next picture is inside the flea market. My wife went one time. She just went nuts because she's 100% Polish. And, oh, God, there's all sorts of crap to buy in here.
Crap? Well, that's a Polish word for treasure, isn't it?
That's what it is, I guess. And they were still using the zloty as currency. I think they still use the zloty. But the zloty is worth about nothing. So you can get a lot of good values.
Hmm.
Then we go on to just a pair of little windows above a broken wall.
When you get next time, if we put these pictures up, get a picture from a distance of that flak tower, if you can.
Okay, I'll look and see if we have one.
I'd slip it in this array of photos for people so they can see the size of the things.
It's huge, huge, massive. Okay, so you see the wall with the little window, part of the windows?
Yeah.
That used to be a house. That's in this little town.
You mean it sunk?
No, that was the basement. The house is gone.
Oh.
It got blown up again in this battle when the Russians were coming through, and the Germans just decided there ain't no sense building it again. Now, there's the rabbit. Why do we have the rabbit? And I think it has to do with the lucky rabbit's foot. Frederick the Great, or as some might think, Frederick the Gay, he grew up here, and when he was just a kid, he kept a pet rabbit. And his father, I guess, was kind of a tough guy and didn't want him to have a pet rabbit. He found out he had the rabbit, so he made Frederick kill the rabbit, skin the rabbit.
Okay, let's get right back to it. Hour number two, and we're having a grand time on this really great tour. We're in guests. Look for Harry Cooper. I look underneath him. Look for Berlin tour, and we are at the bottom of that first page. There's a round piece of concrete.
Right, and that's my Berlin friend there who takes us around. You'll never see his face because he doesn't. He's got a very important job. He doesn't want to lose it. That round.
Is he the one who knows the underground?
Yeah.
Okay.
That round thing was the base for a 20-millimeter anti-aircraft gun.
Uh-huh.
They didn't leave the guns there for us to play with, I'm afraid.
Did they have radar then, or was it visual sighting?
I don't know. I don't know. Not my area of expertise.
Okay.
Okay, next picture, you see the red arrow?
Yep.
It's pointing to a girl on the side of this platform, and... it's not that she didn't want to pay the €5 to get in. She and a...
it's a little tiny girl.
Yeah. She was normal size. It's just that it's a huge flak tower. And she and some of her friends were practicing mountain climbing, and since they didn't have any mountains in Berlin, they're using the flak tower, which I assume they had permission, but...
That's fascinating. Now, is this one of the tall flak towers, or is this a shorter one?
No, this is a tall one. This is one of the big three.
There's only one left, as I remember.
That's right. There are still some other ones around Berlin and Hamburg, etc., but they're not...
They built these things in like 6 or 8 weeks. It was amazing.
I'm surprised there's any cement left in the world. They built so much stuff with cement there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, that's amazing. I'd say let's finish it. Let's put the guns back up there and let it look like it actually did. This is, I'm one of these people who'd like to see the Great Pyramid, at least one side of it, recovered with that beautiful polished limestone white that it used to have on there.
Yeah,
all right. Stripped off.
Unfortunately, nobody wants to take
the I'm a romantic. You know, whatever.
It costs money, and we'd rather give the money away to mooches to come into the country.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that. I'd got my... Whipped out my handy-dandy magnifying glass, and there's a girl.
Yeah. We do have other pictures on my website, close-up. But like I say, I had to trim it down. I started out with about 400 photos to send to you today, and I trimmed it down to whatever it is.
Well, you can go ahead and use them up again. I mean, when I go outside in public with my magnifying glass to see if it's a man or a woman, it's embarrassing, but I can do it at home here at the desk. And it's no problem.
Okay, well, I can see where that would be embarrassing.
Yeah, it is a little. No touch, just look. All right. Okay. All right, let's go down to where it says Berlin 2.
Yep.
And how many Berlins are there?
I think this is the only... Well, let me scroll down, see what...
You don't have to. We'll just go until
we
go.
Oh, no, we got Berlin 3 coming up, so... So we got a couple more pages, I guess.
All right. Here we go. No. Now, what's it called, a wagon?
It's kind of like a Kugelwagen.
Kind of, more modern.
Yeah, and a friend of ours who, see the sign there, says Eingang verboten, and he's guarding the border, except if you know how to translate, it means shark hunters are welcome here.
Absolutely. That's good. That's camouflaged.
That's right, yeah. Well, he's part of the military there.
It's a Mercedes. All right.
And your next picture, those are not barracks for short people. Those are Soviet-built barracks dug into the ground.
For why?
I don't know. I guess maybe it's better insulation. I don't know.
Weird.
And looks this pretty, is looks... all on the property that was the secret... command post of Gross Admiral Dönitz after they lost France, and he had to bring his command back to Berlin. This is outside Berlin. Mm-hmm. The name of the compound is called Corale, which means coral, you know, like you pull up out
of
the...
Now, but Dönitz was the head of the submarine, the Navy.
After a while he was head of the whole Navy.
Yeah.
And then he took over... as Chancellor of Germany when Hitler allegedly committed suicide, although we know he did not commit suicide.
Right.
But anyhow.
When is your Chicago thing again?
19th of November.
Well, I'm really proud. That's just to be associated with that. That's a great thing.
Yeah, and I talked to the president of the International Press Club. They're already 20% sold out in the seats.
They will be.
Oh, I'm sure we're 3 months away. So if anybody would want information on that gathering in Chicago, just send me an email, sharkhunters@earthlink.net, and we'll send them the details.
How exciting. They're going to get, you know this, they're going to get leaned on to cancel you.
Oh, I know that. I know that. If they don't cancel, I'm sure I'll have some thugs waiting for me in front.
What I would do is... maybe I shouldn't say this over the air, but I would go look for an alternate location just in case, and then you can redirect the folks who come to an alternate spot.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that, because the president of the International Press Club is on He's a computer right now listening to us, probably.
I mean, seriously, he obviously is a very brave man. He's got a backbone. This is press. This is history. This is news. Yeah. What the hell? Come on.
Might save me a few $1,000 because my wife wants to go to Chicago, but again, you know, not with an airplane, so we're going to have to drive 2 days to get to Chicago.
Don't they have a train?
I checked Amtrak. We have to drive from here to Jacksonville to catch the train, which is 120 miles. Then the train goes straight up to Washington, D.C.
Never mind, I got you.
And you got to spend the night in D.C. Then it goes to Chicago, and because it'd be my wife and my son and I, and we'd have to have a little compartment. And round trip is $2,600.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I told the guy, geez, I don't want to buy the train. Just ride on it, you know. You can fly. The way the prices are now, you can get flights for $100 round trip from Orlando to Chicago and back.
Right.
Anyhow, here's you're looking down into one of the window wells there in those low-level bunkers, barracks. And like I say, there's more pictures of those on the website.
Yeah.
And the next one down, that abandoned building, was their mess hall.
It's a mess.
Mm-hmm. It's a mess. This is a typical Soviet construction. They built something fast and cheap that wasn't going to last for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Soviet Union itself imploded, and they just walked away and left all this.
And the next picture is the luxurious swimming pool, I can tell.
No, actually, that's one of the four man-made mini lakes, so that from the air, it looked like a farm. And the water in these man-made mini lakes would be used for fire control, et cetera.
Oh, the Germans built it.
Yeah, right. This was all German-built before the Soviets took over.
Yeah.
And that's our friend there, Herr X.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go a little further. Ah, what do we have there? We've got cinder block on top of the original Dönitz bunker. And the reason they put cinder block up there, because the police were practicing to put down urban uprisings. Now, this was built, I'm sure, by the Soviets.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one, we see the actual bunker itself up on the top. And again, you know, the Soviets had a some kind of an agreement with the Western powers that when they pulled out, they would blow everything up, to where Germany couldn't rise again. The same is true when we went on another tour. We went out to Wolfschanze, Hitler's hardened headquarters in what is now Poland, and they blew up all the bunkers there.
But I mean, I'm only saying this because it's history. Leave history alone.
No, I know, but that argument falls flat.
Yeah,
you're
I know.
Talking to people who are dogmatic. So anyhow, they blew it up, and the next picture down, I'm up on the roof again taking this picture, and you're probably three stories high up there.
Mm.
Another picture up on the roof. Then you see a picture of us. See that fence, that old beat-up fence?
Mm-hmm.
And the sign in yellow says, shark hunters are welcome here.
Yeah.
And the next picture, the stairway and the yellow arrow. Got that one?
Got it.
Okay, that is the entrance down into Dönitz's command bunker. And you're really not supposed to go down there. The caretaker, who fortunately was not around that day, absolutely refuses to let people down there because he says that there's decaying wood, and that lets off nitrogen, which displaces the oxygen, and you get down there and you'll die. Well, I've been down there three decks down, and nobody told me
you
I'm
sound
dead.
Sound pretty
yet.
Good to me.
Yeah.
Aren't those his feet tied together in the lower right there?
I don't know what that is down in the lower right, but anyhow, that's the entrance. And then
the entrance is straight down.
Straight down the ladder. To the first level, it goes down three levels. Well, actually, the fourth level, but the fourth level is the ceiling's only about 5 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we are, three levels down, that room with the yellow band around it, yellow painted wall.
Is that original yellow?
Yeah, I think they just let it go to hell.
So that's how it looked.
Yeah. Then the next picture is a diesel engine.
Harry, how did they communicate with the U-boat fleet and what was left of the Navy?
Oh, well, they had Goliath, which was a huge, big transmitter in Berlin that could get anywhere in the world. And then they had other stations in different places.
Uh-huh.
They had down in Bavaria and Austria, they had, I think it was three high-powered mobile radios. They were in vans.
Mm-hmm.
And one was called Crocodile, and it was seated on the Rossfeld Road up on the, which mountain was that? I think it was over Salzburg. And it was meant to communicate with just certain U-boats. One of them, for instance, was U-534, which had two Enigma machines.
This is all going on, folks, when the code had been cracked and the Germans didn't know it.
Yeah, but the one on U-534, instead of just the standard four-wheel Enigma that the Navy had, they had a three-wheel Enigma and a four-wheel Enigma hooked together in series to where they had hundreds of billions of potential combinations.
See, that's smart. Supercomputer.
Right, and they used a totally different code that had not been broken. But
why didn't they change the damn code?
Well, that was a good question. Admiral Dönitz every so often thought that the codes had been broken, and whenever he brought it to the attention of the general staff, he was laughed down, and it was swept off the table. No, the code cannot be broken, etc. Well, then after a while, after Black May of 1943, when the codes were broken,
mm-hmm.
We also brought Huffduff online, high-frequency directional finder, and it didn't matter how quickly that radio operator got on and off the air. If he hit the key once, he was triangulated, and that was what killed so many of them.
Yeah. Okay, this is a large diesel engine, which looks like it probably could still start up if they worked on it a little bit.
Yeah, they need a little paint on the outside shrouding, but that was to provide
electricity.
Electric power.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you know, the ventilation, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one is a
circular. If you don't get over that cough, let me know, and I'll send you some... no, seriously, I've got stuff that'll knock that right out.
Well, the reason everybody down here is hacking and coughing, I know out on the West Coast there, the Left Coast, they're in a hell of a drought. I wish we could ship our weather there every single day for the last 3 months at least. We have been getting horrendous rainstorms, toad strangler, gully washers, and it's causing the oak trees. We don't have palm trees in this part of Florida. We got oaks. And they're just pollinating all over the place. My torch red Corvette has a coating of yellow dust on it from the pollen, and it gets into our throats, and
I gotcha. Okay.
We just tough it out.
Do you know California, the state, most all of the state of California, I ran the story today, is sinking,
ooh,
2 inches a month.
Oh, I'm glad I don't live in California then.
Think about it. That's 24 inches a year.
Yeah.
That's, the state is sinking. The water is gone. The water table's gone. The snowpack is gone. It's sinking. 24 inches. And that, you look at the story at runts.com. It's up there.
Lordy, lordy. Well, we're not shy of water here. Holy cow, we're not shy of water.
Well, if they got smart and quit spending their money to kill people in the Middle East and elsewhere, they could build enormous pipelines like Gaddafi did, that brilliant man, and pipe the water where it's needed.
Yeah, unfortunately, though, it's got too many people protecting their own little turf.
Yep.
Okay, next one, you see the circular stairwell. We're on the third level down.
Uh-huh.
And that one goes down into the fourth level, which, like I say, is about ankle deep in water. And the ceiling's only about 5 feet. So.
And the guy's claiming that the wood is going to give off nitrogen and make
it. Yeah.
And you know, that's a bunch of crap.
Well, I know. I agree with you. But and like I say, I've been down there three times so far,
mm-hmm.
and never any adverse effects.
Well, so, you used to be a blue-eyed blonde. That's the only difference I can tell.
I still am a blue-eyed blonde, except gray is the new blonde.
Oh,
with me.
I see. Well, let's call it platinum then.
Yeah,
okay. Now, next.
Next we have that shell of a building with the busted-out windows.
Yeah.
That was Admiral Dönitz's headquarters and his living compartment, his living apartment. And when we were there the first time, it was in perfect shape. There was a realtor there trying to sell it to somebody.
No kidding.
Now, like so many things from the war years.
Yeah, I got it.
They just turned their back on it and let the vandals go in there and tear the place apart.
There's still some drapes on one window, looks like.
Well, somebody will probably go and steal them. So.
Well, how interesting. Well. One day, maybe history will be respected as it should be. Okay, next picture looks like a country manor courtyard.
That's exactly what it is. That was Goebbels' manor house.
Ah.
The Reich built him a nice little house outside Berlin.
Uh-huh.
I think to the northwest, I can't remember, though. And he didn't like it, so he built this huge, big manor house called House Bogensee, which you'll see in the next picture.
I see it.
Yeah.
Are those the original letters?
Yeah.
B-O-G-E-N?
Yeah.
Bogensee. It's amazing. No one has... Never mind.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was private property, and there are guards. And
we go to the inside?
We were inside that. This is where there was one whole wing of this place, which I don't have the pictures up. There was one whole wing which was all bedrooms, and since Goebbels was in charge not only of propaganda but also the film industry, any cute little aspiring movie starlet would have to come out and
audition
with Goebbels. And you know, he had a very public wild affair with Lydia Borova, mm-hmm. who was a gorgeous woman from, I think it was Romania or Hungary, I'm not sure which, but he told Hitler that he was going to divorce Magda and marry Lydia Borova.
Nine.
Yeah, Hitler says, no, that ain't the way the Reich was designed. And Lydia Borova got a visit from the Gestapo and said, if you're still here tomorrow. So she packed up and left that night. So,
wow.
Harry, the
inside looks perfect where I'm looking.
It was in good shape. And those two windows at the last photo,
uh-huh.
those were the electrically operated windows. You push a button and they sink down into the basement to give you ventilation. And they work because I was pushing the buttons and these windows were going down.
Huh.
We were down in the cellar,
mm-hmm.
and they had a big cold room for vegetables, another cold room for meat, another one for the dairy, and the entrance to his bunker was there, and it was wide open, not even bulldozed or anything. This was taken a few years ago. Now, I don't know what's going on. The entire facility at House Bogensee had been taken over by the Soviets, and they built several huge, big, grandiose buildings, three or four dormitories for the young communists from Yugoslavia and young communists from here and young communists from there. Then they had a huge, big meeting building, and the two huge Zeiss film projectors are still up in the projection room, and at each one of the seating places, you know, they had chairs with the little wooden arm on them like we had in high school,
mm-hmm.
all over the place, and the headphones were still there for people to wear, and no matter what language they spoke, they had their translator.
Hmm.
But the place was falling apart. Like I say, the Soviets built stuff that looked good for a couple of years, and the German government or the Berlin government, I don't know, whichever government had control of the place, they were just totally torn. Okay, this place is worth a ton of money. Let's auction it off and make a ton of money on it. Okay, we're going to auction it off. Then somebody pops up and says, oh, wait a minute. What if some wealthy neo-Nazi buys it? Oh, okay, take it off the market again. And then it's back on the market, then it's back off. So I don't know if it's still there. Hmm. I mean, it's still there, obviously, but I don't know if it's for sale or not, because there are a lot. There are wealthy neo-Nazis, and if they bought it, you know, then God forbid they might have a rise of the Reich again. I don't think that's going to happen.
I know.
I'm sure that's what they're worried about.
Ridiculous.
Adolf who? World War what?
Yeah. All right, we're going to keep going through the break. Todd, thank you.
Okay.
All right, next up. Yeah, I did. I've been looking. I flipped. We got a whole bunch here. This is number four or three.
Whatever. Okay. I don't know if this goes to...
There's a pass gate here.
There's a pass gate, right. And with that sign, I've got a close-up of the sign on the next one.
Yeah.
Every time it says verboten, I know that's just for us.
That's welcome, Shark Hunter.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
Eltern Haften für Ihre Kinder, some about your children, I don't know. This was the headquarters of OKW, Oberkommando der Wehrmacht. This was the high command of the German military.
Hmm.
It was made to look like a small village from the air of six houses, three on each side of a little street. And these were hardened houses. You see one there, and then the next picture was a hardened house, but blown up. Because the Soviets took it over, and when the Soviet Union evaporated, they blew them up.
No.
The assassination of Hitler at the Wolfschanze was planned in one of these buildings. Of course, Tom Cruise wasn't there. It was von Stauffenberg, but now they're all blown up.
What would have happened if they had succeeded and he put the bomb on the other side of that huge table leg?
Well,
What if he'd killed Hitler? Yeah.
I don't think it would have changed the outcome of the war because the Allies were bound
to destroy
Germany.
Well, Speer would have probably taken over, perhaps, one of them. Who knows? But
Bormann.
Bormann, yeah.
Bormann was the gray eminence behind the throne there. Bormann was the powerhouse. We're still learning stuff about Bormann, how powerful he was for so many years after the war. But that's something for another book later on, and that's why I'm going to Argentina and also to Italy in a couple of months. That's another story, though.
Well, okay. All right. Green doors.
Green doors. And the guy you see his back, that's Irwin again, the U-boat guy, going in. Now we're going down into the bunkers underneath. You see the next picture, the next two pictures. These are down 90 meters down. What is that? That's about 300 feet down.
You're kidding me. That's a football field deep.
Yep. They wanted to make sure the bombs didn't get them. And then we go to one where there's a lot of grass and you're looking down. That's a window from a basement from one of the buildings, and there's a chair or something thrown down there. Then we scroll on. I don't know how that one got out of shape. There's a gigantic blast door with the number 2 on it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a bomb-proof door to protect the people down in the belly. Scroll to the next one. That's an electrical control panel way down deep. And below that, you see telephones, an orange phone, a yellow phone.
Original stuff.
Yep, from the Soviets, because the Soviets took this over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they paid Germany for it. Not the way they should have. And we scroll down again. There's more.
Was that German equipment that they just took over, or is that their own?
No, that's pretty much new for the time. This was all Soviet stuff.
Okay.
And it's still there. It's still there, Jeff. Mm-hmm. They haven't taken none of this stuff out. Mm-hmm. There's piles and piles of papers and documents and files and all sorts of stuff like this. Hmm. Another place we go when we're in Berlin, which I don't have photos of that, we go into the former command headquarters of the DDR government. Everything, you can get seasick walking through there because everything is sprung. The floors are on gigantic springs. The desks and chairs are hanging from the ceiling on springs. The computers are all on springs in case there's a huge blast. So, bless their hearts. And we're scrolling down still. There's more equipment still in there. Jeez, I thought I took out some of this stuff.
That's Soviet stuff.
Yep. And then finally we get to the last photo. It looks like some kind of a concrete rocket ship.
It does.
That's right outside in the little village outside the headquarters of the OKW. That is one of the air raid shelters. They built a bunch of them, and you see it's pointed, so there's no way a bomb is going to hit the roof.
Yeah, I've seen these in that program, that documentary about Berlin. They built a lot of those.
Right, and then the Soviets blew up most of them around there, but this one is still standing. You can get a couple of hundred people in there, I guess. I don't imagine it was a lot of fun with the bombs falling, but outside.
No.
And I'll tell you what, they, excuse me, they got some kind of a fern there that grows. I touched one, and it's like you got bit by a snake or something. I mean, you get instant pain just touching the damn thing, and then it burns and itches all day. So, okay, we click on the Let's Go Forward thing.
Berlin number 4.
Yes, sir.
Now we're going to another checkpoint.
Well, this is the famous Checkpoint Charlie, which now is staffed by a bunch of Germans, and the ones when we were there, they couldn't even speak English, but for, I think, 10 euros or something like that, you can have your real passport stamped with the Checkpoint Charlie thing. I didn't think it would be a good idea for me to have them stamp souvenir stuff into my official passport.
No, I don't think so.
So, then the next one down, that is an original section of the Berlin Wall with a watchtower.
Oh, really?
And we're on a an observation tower across the street. But you see, on the backside of it, where the guard tower is, that would have been the whole thing would have been East Berlin. But you got to go over that first wall and then through a very that large area of very soft sand and gravel. You can't run, and you get machine gunned before you get to the inner wall.
Yeah, they killed quite a few people over the years.
Yeah, they did, and they built the walls to keep the Americans out, they said. Right. Okay, we scroll down to that big arena-looking place.
That big roundy.
Yep, big roundy. That is the home of the 1936 Olympics, which was the first time the Olympics had been a huge spectacle. And, you know, Hitler had built it for that.
Yeah.
And then the next one is a long shot of the Olympic Stadium with the two pylons off to the side. The next one you see, they have memories of the fallen soldiers of World War One.
Wow.
The next war was what? Who? World War what? So they don't remember those guys. Next one, of course, is the big bell. It says 1936 on it. And you had to go up, and then you had to be very careful if you want to reach out and touch it, because if you reach a little too far, you slip and you're down about six stories in a hurry.
Oh.
The next picture, the abandoned building.
Olympic Village?
Yeah, not the Olympic Village, but some of the offices. And then after the fall of Berlin, this was East Berlin again, this was housing for, originally it was housing, I think, for SS officers, and then it was housing for Soviet officers, and now it's housing for varmints, vermin, bird, ducks, whatever. Nobody living there anymore. Next photo, the yellow one, that was the headquarters building for the Olympics, which is also abandoned. And
These things ought to all obviously be kept in pristine condition.
Yeah, Well, my opinion is they're deliberately being allowed to fall apart.
Yeah. Okay, you're inside, or someone's up there.
Yeah, that's me on the stage.
Yeah.
They finally found me. I took off to take pictures. The next thing I know, the guide is blowing his whistle and they're screaming, "Voice Cooper, Voice Cooper." I said, "Oh, well, they're not going anywhere without me because I have the checkbook."
Ah, yes.
I roamed. There's a whole bunch of photos in there of that. And like I say, this was the old headquarters building for the Olympics.
That's a stage for some kind of presentation.
Right. And the next photo down is just an empty room painted in white. That's one of the rooms in that building.
Well, at least they've repainted it.
Yeah. And the next one down is another room.
Well, you can see the before.
Yeah.
If that's the same, I'm not sure it's the same.
Not the same room, but one just exactly like it.
Yeah.
They had rooms like this all through that building.
No reason they can't make that look nice.
Oh, I know. They could get volunteer labor. Or they could get the people out of the prisons,
yep.
Put them to work, give them a paintbrush.
Yep.
The next picture, the semicircular, that was...
That's an odd-looking structure.
Yeah, that was the circular mess hall, dining hall for the Olympians.
Hmm.
And the yellow pipes you see, that is the poor man's gutters. They haven't fixed the downspouts. They just kind of jimmy-rigged it with that stuff.
Mm.
And you see it's falling apart, too. We go down one more, and there's all these people there having a good time. This was the Italian team. And they were eating well, and they had their bottles of wine. You know, you're not supposed to drink at the Olympics, but they had a special dispensation because the Italians have to have wine with their meal. And they were having fun. The place was well-kept. They ate well. But that was 1936.
Amazing.
Next photo is that well-kept dormitory. That is the Jesse Owens dormitory. There were two men.
It's kind of a monument.
Yeah. There were two men, two a room. You had two single beds, and you had a desk, and that was really nice. And you scroll down to the next one where it's all falling apart. That's actually the dormitory where Jesse Owens lived. They put a sign in front of the other one because it wasn't so badly destroyed. And then the guy from the Olympic Village, who was taking us around, he was trying to talk us into donating money to restore the Jesse Owens house. We told him we didn't have any money, and he said, "Well, you go to your government." I said, "Yeah, right. There's 330 million people in America. And I'm not going to go to the government and ask them for money to rebuild something in Berlin."
You know what's sad? Out of the 330 million, probably no more than a million would even know who Jesse Owens was.
Yeah, sad but true.
All right, we got a picture of Harry.
Yeah, this sitting is the standard room.
For the athletes.
Yep. And the place is, you know, it's all falling apart except they're keeping one or two buildings in decent shape. But, geez, I better go on a diet. I'm looking a little chunky. Nah, probably my shirt was loose. That's what it was.
No, it was just your shirt.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to go through this break, too. I want to get as much as we can here. All right. Berlin number five.
Berlin number five. That grown over building.
We got Berlin number six. We got eight.
Yeah.
We're not going to make it. That's fine.
No, we're not going to make it, but we'll come back if you like.
This is fun. Yeah, can we kill the commercial? No, I shouldn't say kill the commercial. Can we dim the commercial? Thank you. All right.
Okay, this building you're looking at that's grown up, that was the train station from Berlin direct to Moscow. It's not in service anymore.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, this was at the outskirts, too, where the Kaiser had built this huge, big school where he was training his cavalry people, but then it went over in World War II to the Panzer guys. I think it was the 5th Panzer Division.
Yeah.
Took it over. Look to the next sign. There's another one of those signs that says, "Come on down, shark hunters." And the third picture, that is what's left of one of the tank barns.
Really?
Yeah. The panzers would come in there for repair.
Uh-huh.
And are several of these buildings, and this is the best-looking one of the bunch. So you can figure out from the rest. The next picture, there's another one of the tank repair shops grown over. Next one is a house, a very nice house. That is where the commanders lived. You know, each command, you know, when they changed commanders. Guderian lived in this house for a while.
Heinz?
Yep, the Panzer chief. So, but unlike George Washington slept here, it's abandoned. Who's Guderian, they want to know. Okay. Excuse me. Then we go to the big yellow building. This is just one small piece of a gigantic complex that the Kaiser built and during the war was used as the headquarters of the Panzers and also training, etc. You're on that picture, I assume?
Yep.
Next one down, we have a picture of...
That's a nice clock up there. It looks like
well,
it still works.
I have no idea. If not, it's right 20 or two times a day. Then you see the statue. That's poor old Lenin. He's looking out there for something, but whatever's out there, it ain't coming back to him.
Creep.
His name wasn't even Lenin.
Yeah, I know.
Stalin wasn't Stalin.
I know.
Tito wasn't Tito. Franco wasn't Franco. Ah, there we see another one. Verboten.
One of your favorite words.
Yeah. Something Hall for your children. I don't
know. If you have any grandkids, you could always name one of them Verboten.
That would, that would work. Okay, then we go inside, and here's the entrance to one of the grand halls in there.
Mm-hmm.
You see the stairs, the paint's all fallen off, but this was built before World War I. So it was built by German engineering, and it's still staying, even though it's falling apart. And from what I'm told, no amount of money could renovate the place because it's too far gone. So they're just going to let it fall apart.
I find that hard to believe. I don't know what they're building here with concrete or rebar. I don't know. I can see the paint's falling.
Third Reich was part of this, and so that, you know, good.
It's not politically correct.
Exactly. No. So then we have a long hallway with a red door. I have no idea what that is. I left from the group, and they were blowing the whistle again looking for me.
Goebbels' girlfriend was in there.
It could have been, yeah. Then we got a room, a wall with blue whatever's on it.
Let me see what they are.
Get your magnifying glass.
I am. I'm looking. They look like they're little mailboxes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah,
I'll
bet.
Might have been mailboxes for the students, because they were training.
Well, they must have been some tall students to get up to the top.
Well, maybe they had a chair. Who knows?
They're mailboxes.
Or a sliding ladder.
That, too.
And I bet you don't know who invented the sliding ladder. It was my great-great-grandfather.
Come on.
Yeah. And he invented also the endless chain of buckets, you know, to dig wells with, etc.
No kidding.
Yeah. And the weedless fishing lure, etc. And his uncle, my great-great-grandfather's uncle, was Peter Cooper, the guy that invented the first steam-powered locomotive, and he was the oldest man to ever run for the presidency of the United States.
I'll be done.
Big deal.
No, it is a big deal. That's
I never got any money out of it.
Doesn't matter.
Now, we move on down, and here's what's left of a Soviet display.
Yeah, I can tell.
They always had these big, grandiose whatevers, and they also had a big, huge, what the heck do you call it, one of them rooms in a circle that, full of this stuff. They took it all back. They wanted to sell it to Berlin. Berlin says, no, we're not going to pay for it, and so they took
it. Well, that's like a wall mural, but it's a sculpted thing. And it,
right.
This
and they had
very,
one of these that was in a big circle.
Very ugly-looking, unattracting. That's not a very good-looking kid.
Right, and that's, I guess that's Stalin over there on the right.
On the right,
it?
Yeah.
They were supposed to look stern, not happy.
The child looks weird.
Well, they didn't have much money. The Soviet Union was...
Beauty doesn't take much money.
Oh, okay. I'll take your word for it. Next picture was still more of that same compound. It's a beautiful place. It covers a couple of square miles.
And originally, what was it used for, one more time?
That was for the training of the Kaiser's cavalry.
Okay. Now, you can see the horses just jogging through that archway.
Yeah, let your mind go back in history 100 years.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you got. And then, of course, there's Betretten Verboten again. Harry, welcome here.
Ah, yes.
And that goes into the swimming pool. And again, we've got a bunch more photos of the pool. And but I, like I say, I had to narrow it down. Otherwise, we'll be here until 2 o'clock in the morning come Sunday.
Look at that. That's the diving board.
Yep. No water in the pool, though. So
I can tell that. Now, that wasn't a very big pool.
No.
And it doesn't look like the diving board was in such a position that you could dive head first and go very far.
I don't know. But this was part of the physical training of the cavalrymen and then later on the guys from the panzers.
Mm-hmm.
There you see the bottom picture is that's a changing room.
Mm-hmm.
And this was not part of the tour. I got lost again. But you got to let your mind wander. Who sat there to change their clothes?
Well, it wasn't us, but...
No.
Okay, let's go. Now we got...
Click on...
This is the last one. Okay.
Is it? Okay.
We'll see if we can zip. We got about 8 minutes. We'll see if we can get through.
That building with the long stray eye in the side, that's the museum at the... the Heights.
Uh-huh.
Silo Heights. That's where they had a major, major battle just to the east of Berlin, just to the west of the Oder River. After the Soviets crossed the Oder River, they had a huge, big battle there. And this is a museum about it. And outside the museum, of course, they have their obligatory weaponry. That's a T-34 tank, Soviet, and a Soviet Katusha rocket truck.
No, it must not have been any German examples around, of course.
No, not very many. Most of them were broken up.
Trashed. Melted down, turned into Mercedes. All right. Yeah.
Then we got this bright picture where it says tobacco shop.
Yeah.
And there's a BP gas station. This is when you just cross the border into what is now Poland. It used to be Germany, but it's now Poland. And this little town was the most destroyed town, village, whatever, in history. Every time an army came through, they just destroyed the town. And finally, after a while, they just never rebuilt the old section of the town. And we go through part of it. And this is where, what's his name, the great... DeGros, what the heck? Jeez, it's late in the day. Anyhow, we'll go through that. Next picture is the entrance to a really nice little truck stop where we stop for lunch. We always stop for lunch. Frederick the Great, that's who I'm thinking of.
Freddie.
Yeah.
What would you eat at the what would you eat for lunch?
Everybody had their own choice, but I usually go with goulash soup because you can't screw up goulash soup and a big chunk of bread.
Okay.
And there's some of our troops there. And the girl didn't want her picture taken, but finally my charm won her over, and there's her picture. It's a nice little mom-and-pop place with only about a half a dozen tables.
Uh-huh.
But it's good food, and it's nice, you know, local color.
Yeah.
So.
Very good. Oh, the smiling girl. I thought you were talking about the other one.
Well, it's the same girl.
Oh, well, look how different she looks smiling.
Yeah, well, I talked her into it. Look at the shirt. It's the same shirt. I love some or another.
I love music.
Okay. You got your magnifying glass out again.
That's right.
Okay, the next picture is the gates. That is a huge flea market. It's just over the border from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next picture is inside the flea market. My wife went one time. She just went nuts because she's 100% Polish. And, oh, God, there's all sorts of crap to buy in here.
Crap? Well, that's a Polish word for treasure, isn't it?
That's what it is, I guess. And they were still using the zloty as currency. I think they still use the zloty. But the zloty is worth about nothing. So you can get a lot of good values.
Hmm.
Then we go on to just a pair of little windows above a broken wall.
When you get next time, if we put these pictures up, get a picture from a distance of that flak tower, if you can.
Okay, I'll look and see if we have one.
That's I'd slip it in this array of photos for people so they can see the size of the things.
Yeah, it's huge, huge, massive. Okay, so you see the wall with the little window, part
of
the windows?
Yeah.
That used to be a house. That's in this little town.
You mean it sunk?
No, that was the basement. The house is gone.
Oh.
It got blown up again in this battle when the Russians were coming through, and the Germans just decided there ain't no sense building it again. Now, there's the rabbit. Why do we have the rabbit? And I think it has to do with the lucky rabbit's foot. Frederick the Great, or as some might think, Frederick the Gay, he grew up here, and when he was just a kid, he kept a pet rabbit, and his father, I guess, was kind of a tough guy and didn't want him to have a pet rabbit. He found out he had the rabbit, so he made Frederick kill the rabbit, skin the rabbit, cook the rabbit, and eat the rabbit.
Ah, that's not nice.
No, it's not nice. It's something that Planned Parenthood would do.
Yes.
But he kept the rabbit's foot for luck. So I think that's maybe where the rabbit's foot thing got started.
It wasn't very lucky for the rabbit.
It wasn't lucky for the rabbit, no. And this was where, years later, when he and his buddy deserted the army because they wanted to play the flute and write poetry, his dad, well, they were captured. His father, the king, brought him back here, and they were going to be beheaded. But all the nobility made such a fuss, he decided, okay, he won't behead Frederick, but he made Frederick sit there and watch while his buddy got beheaded.
Oh, not nice.
And then when Frederick became the king, women were not allowed in the palace at all. Mm. So you draw your own conclusions.
I will draw no conclusions.
Okay. Then you find down below there, you find a cavern, and that's under the palace or the castle where Frederick had been imprisoned, but now above the ground there's nothing. Mm. Like I say, it got destroyed and they got tired of rebuilding it. Then we have a photo of a lovely waitress in a very nice restaurant in that little town where we have our last dinner in Poland.
She German or Poland?
She's Polish.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got the reserve sign in her hand. And we had all the tables reserved. And that's Irwin's jacket on the chair and his white hat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to go fast because I know you're up against a
We got a couple minutes here. Go ahead.
Then we go back into Berlin. There's Stauffenberger Strasse for the guy that tried to blow up Hitler.
Well, they obviously named that after the war.
Yeah, I would think so. And should have been named Tom Cruise Street, I guess.
Yeah.
Then the next picture, that's police headquarters, which is where von Stauffenberg came running back after he got out of Wolfschanze and proclaimed Hitler's dead and we're in charge.
Whoops.
Yeah, they told him, no, he isn't. No, we're not. Now go stand up here. Now, the next picture, you see the wreath. That's where von Stauffenberg got stood up and shot because the general in charge of the police was involved in the plot to blow up Uncle Adi, and he wanted to whack von Stauffenberg
before
he could talk. Yeah. But yet, everybody who was even halfway remotely involved was tried, kangaroo court, and their execution was horrible. They had a piece of piano wire run around their neck, and they were picked up, and it was put on a hook, and they danced and strangled.
Yep.
Not nice to try to blow up the boss. And you see the next picture, all them swastikas?
Mm-hmm.
That's all the flooring in the whole damn police department is loaded with. This is all around the edge. but you're not supposed to have swastikas. I don't know what to tell you.
It's interesting. They look 3D.
Yeah. It's not 3D, though, but it's pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And the last photo, we are standing on top of the Führer bunker. This is where Hitler had his headquarters.
Really?
Yeah, and it runs underneath that apartment complex and everything, and this is where he allegedly shot himself, Eva Braun took the poison, allegedly, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an entrance into the Führer bunker, but it's secret, it's hidden, and even if you found it, you'd have to pick the lock and duck the police.
So that hasn't been blown up. That's still there.
That's still there. But from what I understand, the water from the river spray is getting in there, and it's pretty well flooded.
Yeah.
There are other bunkers, because they found only about 5 years ago, I guess it was, they found one called the Fahrer bunker, not the Führer bunker. Führer means leader. Fahrer means driver. So they found the Fahrer bunker, and it was just the way it was when the guys walked out. The paintings were on the wall. And
amazing. Did they leave it alone?
Oh, they locked it up again. You can't go there. Because if you see anything from the Third Reich, especially that swastika, your brain will melt.
Yeah, you'll turn into a neo-Nazi on the spot.
Yeah, and your brain will melt.
That too.
Don't forget, your people can go to sharkhunters.com and see all these photos, go to previous tours, and they can send me an email at sharkhunters@earthlink.net and say they'd like a copy of the magazine, and zingo bingo, we'll send it right back out by electronic mail. Well, you get it, and you know there's so much history in each one of those things.
I don't know. It's like a library.
And there's so much more. We're opening contacts with other agents, SEAG agents, we call them, Shark Hunters, Eagle Hunters Intelligence Group.
Yeah.
And in September, after our tour is done, I'm going to visit a couple of them, and a new fella in Italy has already arranged that I'm going to be received at City Hall by the mayor. He's got TV and radio all set up to talk about my book, Hitler in Argentina.
Wow.
Because there's no question Hitler got off to Argentina. Now, there's a whole flurry of books coming out right now that read very suspiciously, like my book, which we released a decade ago.
Yeah.
And the new one out by a former member of Shark Hunters, Joe Farrell, somebody reviewed the book and said it's loaded with bold speculation. Bold speculation means wild-ass guess.
Well, I know Joseph Farrell. I don't know why they did. I hope he gave you full credit for whatever he used.
You're joking, right? You and I will have to talk off the air on that one.
All right. You gave me the whole story. I got it.
He was a night clerk at a hotel in Spearfish, South Dakota.
Okay. All right. That was a wonderful. We're out of time.
Yeah, and there's a ton more photos that we didn't get a chance to get into, like the south of Germany, and you know, we went to Argentina also 4 times. I'm going again. It's just the history is right there. All you have to do is go out and get it. Mm-hmm. But you know, you have to get on an airplane.
Yeah, are these knockoff clone books following the general narrative that you've put together?
From what I understand, if you've been reading our Hotmail news, there's 3 guys have been tasked to take the true history, slice it into pieces, then rearrange it to where it says something very different, like, you know, Hitler blew out his brains, which we know he did not do.
Oh, God, all right, okay. I thought they might be giving you some, get your back, get some support, but you stand on what you did. That's okay. What you did is historic, and
I stand on what I did because
I remember working on the cover a little bit.
Moving
things around. That 390 wasn't even supposed to be there. I insisted it had to be there. And
because we're getting more information from one of my super agents about how that went. It went out of Berlin to Spain, and then from Spain to the Canary Islands, and then from the Canary Islands down to South America.
And, well, there are pieces of it down there somewhere.
Right. I got my White's metal detector. White donated for me to go find it.
Good man.
It would be nice if I could find some of that so-called Nazi gold that was everywhere, but I'd be happy just to find parts of that JU-390 because I'm the only one left.
Now, if you find any part of that, I'll try and raise money to bring it back, and if you can get it back, they probably won't let you take it. But
well, it depends how big. You know, if it's a big piece, well, that's a problem, yeah. But if it fits in my suitcase, I'll find a way.
Good man. Harry, thank you. That was really fun.
That was my pleasure.
I enjoyed it. Everyone enjoys your visits very much. So we learn, we watch, we enjoy, and have fun. And we'll do it again. So if you want to take a look at the other group of pictures, maybe in a couple of weeks or something, we can do that.
Yeah, that's fine with me. You just let me know.
Okay, thanks. Good night. You take care.
Good night. Have a great day, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Okay, Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. All right, we're going to take a break. A little bit of one anyway, and come right back.